On behalf of the Middle East Working Group, it's quite an honor to introduce Khaled Muammar as our speaker today. The Middle East Working Group is a joint committee of Trinity St. Paul's and Bathurst United. Our aim is to engage both congregations in education and advocacy concerning the conflict in Israel-Palestine and to work for solidarity regarding a just and lasting peace in the region. Through my years of Palestine solidarity work, I've always known Khaled Muammar to be dedicated to bringing justice to Palestinians, and he has always been generous with his time when asked to speak. As those of you who are familiar with Khaled's work will know, he has often been the subject of some controversy, and he has faced these challenges with great dignity. The introduction in your order of service gives at least some details of Khaled's remarkable journey from Haifa to Canada on the back of a donkey through the mountains. And because humor is such an essential part of activism, I'll share some extra details with you which Khaled's wife Mary provided in a charming and romantic biography, which was supposed to be a secret. It seems that dancing has played a prominent role in the romantic life of two generations of Muammars. Since Khaled's father met his mother at a dance in Lebanon, and Khaled met his wife Mary at a folk dance class here in Toronto. And I'd like to close this introduction with two tributes that I found on the web. One from Khaled and Mary's daughter, Randa. He is, to those who know him, a fair, compassionate, and intelligent man, intent on seeing justice brought to Palestine in his lifetime. His dedication to assisting the world's largest refugee population has been unwavering. And from Independent Jewish Voices, an organization I belong to, has said that the Canadian Arab Federation, of which Khaled is the national president, has been a consistent and valued supporter of Canadian Jewish individuals and groups, and that Khaled Muammar himself is a man of principle and courage. And we now invite Khaled to share his journey of steadfast hope with us.
Thank you, Susan. And I'd like to thank Trinity St. Paul's United Church for giving me this opportunity to address you at this service today. As the notes state, I am a Greek Orthodox Christian, and my wife is a Greek Catholic Christian. And she was telling me after we went through the service, she said, if the services in our church were as interesting, we would be attending more frequently. And educational, actually, on top of interesting. Now, my father is a Palestinian who was born in Nazareth, and my mother was born in Khartoum, Sudan, from Syrian parents. I myself was born in Ivory Coast, which is now in the news, but at an early age, my father sent me and my eldest brother back to Palestine because my brother was ready to go to school with our grandmother. We lived a few years, and then the events started in Palestine. At that time, we were in Haifa, and I recall only one incident that wounded people were brought to our home there because a train had been bombed and derailed by some groups. We suspect it was the Irgun, but this, you know, because they were the ones who were able to do these things. And after that, my father instructed my grandmother to take us temporarily to Lebanon, to her sister who lives in Lebanon, until the situation in Palestine settles down. However, after a few months, we realized that this was not possible, and my parents came from Africa, and we moved to a town in Lebanon called Burmana. And we were enrolled in Brumana High School, which is a Quaker school. And After that, when we finished high school, we moved to Beirut, and I was enrolled at the American University of Beirut and graduated as a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics. During my studies at Beirut, there was a revolution in Algeria, and I remember the students in Beirut called for a general rally in support of the people of Algeria, and I had an exam on that day, a physics exam, and our physics teacher was a Dutchman, and he said anyone who misses the exam will get a zero. However, the next day when we came back to class, he said, I'm not going to implement my threat because most of the class did not attend. So that shows you, if you have determination and conviction, the powers will back off. Now, when we grew up in Lebanon, the Lebanese used to taunt us that we were traitors because we sold our land to the Jews, which was not true, but I remember that always. And I remember on one occasion our SCART teacher, who was a British fellow, decided to take us to a refugee camp in Sidon. And we went there, and the children came out from the camp and started throwing stones at us. And when I went back, it was the first time I realized what had happened to the Palestinians, because we were privileged Palestinians. We were there was a dozen families in Brumana from Palestine who came, but most of us were middle-class city dwellers who had money, and we were able also to become citizens in Lebanon because we were Christians. At that time, the president of Lebanon wanted to increase the number of Christians because he was a Maronite Christian, and so he was giving the citizenship to Palestinian Christians. So we didn't really feel the agony and the suffering of the Palestinian refugees as we should have. But from then on, it started coming into my mind. Now, and then I came to Canada in 65. I met my wife, as was stated, at a dancing group at the University of Toronto. She's from Nazareth. That was by coincidence. But it somehow brought my roots back. And then our daughters were born, both of them. One of them graduated as a lawyer, and she lives now in Dubai. And the other one was doing her PhD at Concordia. When the students there decided to hold a rally against Benjamin Netanyahu, and as a result of that, she was suspended by the university for one term. So she decided to go with the International Solidarity Movement to Palestine to help, you know, the people there. And unexpectedly, she fell in love with a Palestinian Arab citizen from Israel, and now she lives in Nazareth. And she told me, Dad, they expelled you, and I am back there. Now, what spiritually shaped me were really three things. One of them was my father, who taught us to be proud of our heritage. He taught us about our history in Palestine. And my daughter tells me she feels she has roots there because they tell her that there are five families who found, you know, original families in Palestine. And one of them is the Muammar family. So that's why she feels she has roots there. And my father also was a person who did not fear authority. What happened to him when he was in the Ivory Coast, some French officers, at that time it was under French colonial rule, insulted a colleague of his. So he replied, he was attacked by the French officers, and the result was that he was jailed and banished to Timbuktu. If people say, have you been to Timbuktu? It seems I was in Timbuktu, but I don't remember. I was 2 years old then. So, and then the second thing was really at the Quaker school. Quakers, as you are all aware, are people who are pacifist. They are opposed to war. And the president of our university, of the college, Brumana High School, was Herbert Dubbing, a British fellow who had been jailed during the Second World War because he refused to service. And we had every day we started with a general assembly, and he would read the sections from the Bible and then explain things. And one thing that stuck in my mind from those readings is that Jesus was special in the sense that he came and said morality is more important than material wealth. That you should not accept injustice. You should side always with the oppressed. And he believed that all people should be equal. So these things stuck in my mind. And another thing that stuck in my mind is from our history. When the Muslim Arabs came to Palestine and they took it from the Byzantine Empire, the first thing he did, he went to the church leaders in Jerusalem, came to him and said, "We want you to pray in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre." He said, "No, I will not do that. Because I know if I pray there, my Muslim believers will turn it into a church." He asked for a pebble, he threw it, and where it landed, they built the Mosque of Omar. And he was the one who allowed Jews back into Jerusalem, because during the Byzantine rule, no Jews or Muslims were allowed in Jerusalem. So this also teaches us, you know, that people of all faiths can live together when there is equality. Now, what have I learned since coming to Canada? When I came to Canada, I was really, surprised and disappointed about how little people knew about Palestine. Whenever I introduced myself, they would say, "Are you from Pakistan?" I say, "No, it's Palestine." And then the media was misinforming people. Hollywood movies had this image of the Arab barbarian, sexist, terrorist, all these things. So at the same time, I was upset because I saw, you know, Zionists here claiming my country as their own and denying me a right to be in that country. So these were things which made us, a group of us, started the Palestine Arab Association to advocate the Palestinian cause. And then the 67 war came and the rest of Palestine was occupied. Our organization, along with other organizations, decided to establish a national organization called the Canadian Arab Federation, because we felt we had to advocate on a national level with the media, with the government, and everything, and to represent the issues which concern us as Arab Canadians. Now, I also learned that, you know, as long as people are weak and not united, foreign powers can come and do whatever they want in their country. And that's what happened in the case of the Palestinians. Britain and France had divided all the Arab world amongst them in the 1919 Paris Treaty. And on top of that, they supported the Zionist movement in creating this colonial enterprise, the most successful colonial enterprise, the best financed, best organized colonial enterprise in Palestine, and it divided the Asian part of the Arab world from the African part of the Arab world. But I also learned that, you know, people can be oppressed for a long time, but in the end, justice will prevail. And examples of that are Algeria. Algeria was under French rule for 130 years, There were 1 million French colonists in Algeria. In the end, the Algerian people decided they wanted freedom and sovereignty and equality, and they rose up. They had to sacrifice 1 million martyrs out of 10 million, but they were able to achieve their independence. Similarly, the Vietnamese people were under occupation for 100 years, but in the end, they rose up. The Americans tried also to interfere, But finally, they were able to overcome the superpower and they were able to unite their country. And that depends not only on justice, but it also depends on leadership, which the people can trust. Now, I made a visit also. The first time I went back to Palestine was in June of 1996. I took my wife comes from Israel. She's an Israeli Arab citizen, so she left in 67. But I had never gone back since 48. So in 96 we decided to go back to visit her relatives, my distant relatives, which I don't remember. And what struck me is that, you know, this was a country where there was no communication between people. You had two separate entities. You had, for example, Nazareth, which is an Arab city. The government of Israel created another city called Nazareth Elite, which is High Nazareth, overlooking Arab Nazareth. Now, Arab Nazareth has twice the population of Jewish Nazareth, but Jewish Nazareth has three times the land area. All the government offices are located in Jewish Nazareth. And Arabs are not allowed to go into Jewish Nazareth and live there. And my daughter's father-in-law, he owns the land on which the courts in Upper Nazareth are located. They were confiscated from him. The courts of justice are located on land which was unjustly confiscated. That's the irony. And then when I went into East Jerusalem, and they say it's a united city, I saw all these soldiers with guns, and they were mostly Russian Jewish immigrants, telling me, you are a foreigner in your own city. And when I went to Bethlehem, this young man came to us, and a Palestinian said, please take me as your guide, because we're not having any business. I'll do it for free or any price you want. And when we asked him why, he said, because the government of Israel only brings tourists on their with their tourist agencies, with their tourist guides. So this way we don't have any business. And they come into Bethlehem and they don't even buy from the Arabic stores. They just go there, visit the church and take them back. So now, so what does this mean to me? Like, this is why, this is the last thing I'll touch upon quickly. How can we achieve a just peace in Palestine? Well, no one is free from sin, and therefore no one is entitled to stake an exclusive claim to Jerusalem. The church leaders of Jerusalem have said, whenever Jerusalem is claimed by one people or religion against others, it will always be a cause of war and violence. And Jerusalem will only live up to her vocation by being an example to the world of peaceful coexistence of all peoples. We have examples from history which show that when that is not done, there will be constant wars. The Crusades are one example of that. They came into Jerusalem, they kicked all the Muslims and Jews and said, this is only for Christians. And that resulted in a war of 200 years. And now Zionism, an ideology that says this land belongs only to Jews, is trying to do the same thing. And we've had conflict and strife for the last 90 years actually. The prophet Micah reminds us that we must be and we must do good to undo justice. This is why we must do justice and love mercy in the face of injustice. Palestinian Christians have declared that the military occupation of our land is a sin against God and humanity. and that any theology that legitimizes the occupation is far from Christian teachings, because true Christian theology is a theology of love and solidarity with the oppressed and equality, and it calls for justice and equality among all peoples. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, declared that the true blessing is found in being pure in heart and in being a peacemaker. Currently, those who speak of justice and peace in Palestine are falsely charged with things like you are anti-Semitic, you are a self-hating Jew, you are anti-Israel, you are a Western leftist, or you are an Islamic extremist. So we should not be scared by those false charges. Kairos Palestine document, which was issued by 13 patriarchs and heads of churches in Jerusalem in December of 2009, asserts that Christian theology is a theology of love and equality and solidarity with the oppressed. I believe myself that all human beings are equal, that there are no human beings that have supremacy over other human beings. And Zionism talks of that. We believe as Palestinians, and especially if you are a Christian, that all human beings are equal. There are now 6 million Palestinian refugees who have been denied for 62 years the right to return to their homes and properties. East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and Gaza have been under an illegal and brutal occupation for the last 43 years. Within Israel itself proper, and my daughter is now a citizen of Israel, because her mother is an Israeli, so the children can become citizens, but I cannot become. So there are 35 laws that discriminate against Palestinian Arab citizens of Israel. 35 laws. One of them is the law of return, which says any Jew in the world can go to Palestine, but the 6 million Palestinians cannot return because they're Christians and Muslims. So, and this is why Palestinian civil society have come out with a call which is for non-violent action. And the call is to start a campaign of boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel until it complies with 3 demands which are in accordance with international law and justice. These 3 demands are the following: ending the occupation and colonization of all Arab lands and dismantling the separation wall which exists. This is a separation wall which is twice as high as the Berlin Wall and 3 times longer. And second demand is to grant full equality to Palestinian Arab citizens of Israel. And the third demand is to implement the Universal Article 13 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which says all people have the right to return to their homes. And that means the return of the 6 million Palestinian refugees finally to their homes. Thank you very much.